saints, you'll look in your order of service and you'll see a sermon note sheet. I want you to turn to that. What is the title of our message this Lord's Day? Thinking about Thanksgiving. Wow, the season is here. Woo! The Thanksgiving season. Amen. So we're going to do some thinking. Hallelujah. And we as God's people just don't thank God Thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Every day, all the time, Eula. All the time. Amen. Well, today I want to begin by asking you a series of questions. And all I want you to do is raise your hand for yes, or raise your hand for no. Maybe just don't lift up your hand if it's no. Amen. Praise God. Question one, I want to know, did you pray last week? If you did, raise your hand. Praise God. Praise God. Did you pray with someone else this week? You joined in with someone else. Okay, praise God. Did you pray when things were going well? I mean, you know those days when things just go right. Were you praying? Amen. Well, what about those days when things aren't going so right? It looks like every red light, you know, stuff is coming from all directions. Were you praying? Praise God, praise God. Well, what about, did you pray instead of getting angry with somebody? I mean, you thought about it and said, Lord, 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 hallelujah. All right, I see some of us, not as many hands. Some of y'all got angry. Y'all just went on and let it out. Huh? All right, well, we're going to work on that. Amen. Did you pray instead of gossiping about somebody? I mean, you had it there. I mean, you could have just went to town with it. But instead, praise God, you gave it to the Lord. You said, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. I'm not going to start gossiping. Well, did you pray this past week when you felt like you were up to your eyeballs in stress? Whether at home, on the job, at work, at school, you prayed to see yourself through that. Praise God. Praise God, saints. Now, did you pray this past week when you were in a panic situation? And those things can happen just... How many remember to pray to God in those situations? All right. Some few hands. Some of us are going like that. All right. Praise God. Now, here's the bonus question. Have you ever prayed from the belly of a fish? Praise God, Benita. Because you have prayed from the belly of the fish. I have prayed from the belly of the fish. We all have prayed from the belly of a fish. Praying from the belly of a fish are those times when you are so upset that you just lift your heart to the Lord. You said, oh God, I am so angry. But I'm going to give you this situation. It's a situation in which something has just been thrown at you and you're like in panic mode. But instead, you're in that belly of the fish and you're just going to say, oh God, I help me. I lift myself to you. Being in the belly of the fish are those stressful moments. Anybody had a stressful moment lately? Woo! Oh my, that's being in the belly of the fish. Oh, praying in the belly of the fish, that is a desperate prayer. That is a situation in which we find ourselves. Can't nobody do nothing but God in this situation. Hallelujah. When stress and all is breathing down your neck, oh man, you are in the belly of the fish. Now today we're going to look at Jonah. And we see a man, he's praying a prayer, a desperate prayer, amen. Because Jonah needed God to intervene, amen. He needed God big time. And we are faced with situations in our lives, saints, that we too need God big time in our lives. All kinds of things happen. And we find ourselves in positions where we need God to come in and do something, amen? Amen. To show up and show out, or it's going to be over. This is how it was with Jonah, and I believe the Lord loves to show God's power, hallelujah, in God's people when they are just feeling at the end of our ropes. God loves to show up and show out. situations in which only God can solve the problem. We're going to look at Jonah, and we're going to see how God showed up for Jonah in a very powerful way. Amen. The problem is, often we don't realize that God is working continually and strongly on our behalf. Praise God. So it's important for us to see the good that God is working in the midst of whatever, the gifts God is giving to us in the midst of whatever we're going through, in the midst of those frustrating times in our lives. God is there. Praise God. Before we begin, saints, let us pray. Praise your name, Lord God Almighty. We say thank you. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Oh, we give you praise today, Lord, and we thank you for your word. And we ask, Lord, in the preaching of your word, that you would speak to we, your people. May we have ears and hearts to listen and to receive. Lord, that we can be transformed. Teach us that we can be thankful, even in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of stress. We can be thankful in the midst of anything that we face. And if nothing else, we can be thankful that you are with us. That we're not alone. You're with us every step. And if it were not for you being the shield about us and the lifter of our heads, things would even be worse. So help us to be thankful. And oh God, we give you praise for all that you shall do in and through our hearts. May it be evident in our lives as we go forth as your people. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we join together to say amen and amen. Thinking about Thanksgiving. Now, saints, in this tremendous story, we're looking at the book of Jonah today, and God told Jonah to go and warn the wicked people of Nineveh about God's coming judgment. But what does he do? Jonah turns the other way, and he goes the opposite way of where God told him to go. I tell you, he was just going as far as he could in the opposite direction. So then God sends this monster storm, amen, and the ship has to stop. And then he goes overboard, and this enormous fish rises up and swallows Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and three nights until the Lord directed that fish to go where God told it to go, and it vomited Jonah up on dry land. Hallelujah. Now, saints, I want us to see that a giant fish could have easily been a shark. In fact, history records other sailors who were swallowed whole and they were rescued. One man in the mid-1700s toured Europe with the preserved body of the 3,000-pound shark that swallowed him. Or take the sperm whales as another example. These whales are capable of swallowing humans. They live on squids, which they swallow whole. In 1955, a 405-pound squid was removed intact from the belly of a sperm whale. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God can. Here is a drawing Karen found for us. It's our size and then the size of those sperm whales. And yes, we can fit inside of them. And yes, they can swallow us whole, and they have done it. Amen. God is able, saints. With God, all things are possible. Amen. God is in control of every planet in the universe. Amen. God is in control of every particle in the universe. So if God wanted to, God could send a giant hummingbird to come and swallow you up if God wanted to. That's just how great God is. Amen. Amen. Well, in Jonah 2, looking at our first point, our runaway prophet, he's gone the opposite way that God had told him. He is praying from the belly of a great fish. And that's where we're going to start our reading today. Together, let's read Jonah 2, 1 through 5. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas. and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. How many know seaweed wrapped around your head couldn't feel good? All right? But sometimes we've all been in situations where we felt like seaweed was wrapped around our heads, all right? Now here is Jonah. He's trapped in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. I mean, a really big, big fish. To me, saints, that's what I call a bad week. I mean, we talk about bad, but that's a bad week, amen? But we all have them. Just some weeks when things just don't seem to work out. Nothing seems to go right. And we have those right out of the blue. You could be thinking like that. Then all of a sudden, wham, you know. And then wham, you know, you just out of the blue, stuff starts coming. Well, here we are now at the end of 2010, and we just wonder what is going on. Our economy ain't doing so well. Our president, he's trying hard. He got to fight everybody there. Republicans and the Democrats. I mean, everybody trying to attack our president. Well, we know we've heard testimonies of people being downsized, losing their jobs, their incomes being cut. I mean, it's a very difficult situation, just really depressing in a lot of ways. Now, we could look at the news and the newspaper. It is so much stuff going on that it's like, woo, it could just make your head swirl. But not even looking at the headlines, saints, for many of us on a personal level, we have had crises in our lives this very year. There are some of us here, we've had losses of loved ones over the past few months, just loved ones. And Laverne started her class again to help those of us to deal with our grief, amen. There are others who our marriages are just hanging by a thread. Amen. We feel like we go home and let's put on the boxing gloves. All right. And it's just stressful. Amen. Some of us here have had traumatic health problems. Amen. We're going through with our health. Some of us have children and they're on the wrong track. And oh, we're just like, oh, what can I do for my child? Oh, help me, Lord Jesus. We've got situations and problems that just don't seem to want to go away. And we may feel at times that we don't even have the emotional strength to deal with our bad relationships, whether they're home, at work, or school. It's like, oh, I just can't take it anymore. I don't even want to deal with it. I don't even deal with all these family problems. Yeah, just break some pencils, just whatever, you know, whatever. I'm just so upset. But saints, how, like Jonah, can we get to the place of thanksgiving even in the midst of our trials and tribulations? Oh, Jonah found himself in one of the worst jams I think anybody could find yourself in the belly of a fish in the depths of the sea. Now, that's really bad. That's really bad. Now, you know, there's a story of a married couple who were on vacation, and they were staying overnight at a motel. They had to get up early the next morning, continue their travel, so they called the front desk for a wake-up call in the morning. And so the front desk called, and the wife got up, and she began packing everything, and she told her husband to get up, get up, get up, honey, and he just kept laying there. And so she continued packing, and once again she said, honey, get up. And he was still, he was really sleeping. He was having trouble waking up. So finally she told him, I'm going to go take our suitcases out to the car, and you better be up by the time I get back. So she took the suitcases out to the car and she started back toward the room. She mistakenly went to the room next door and the door was unlocked. So she opened the door and said, I said for the last time, get up! Ooh, she realized she was in the wrong room and she just like tipped out of it. But all of a sudden there was a man raising up in his bed, rubbing his eyes, and he said, now that's what I call a wake-up call. Woo! He had never been woke up like that by no hotel before. Praise God. He got on up. Amen. You know, Jonah got a wake-up call from God, saints. Amen. Anybody here ever get a wake-up call from God? All right now. Can't nobody call you like the Lord. Amen. Can't nobody wake you up like the Lord. Praise God. And Jonah got a wake-up call from God. But praise God. Jonah make it to the place of thanksgiving in his life in the midst of that call. I want us to look at God's word and see how Jonah got there so we can get there too. Look at your notes. And what's the first thing that we learned from Jonah is to cry out to God, for God will hear you. Whatever it is, God said, cast it on me because I care for you. God said, call on me because I love you and I care for you. I'll show you great and mighty things. So when you are underwater, when you feel like you're going down for the third time, has anybody here ever almost drowned? Woo, it's a lot of us. Oh man, I'm not by myself. Oh wow, it's a horrible feeling. After I had my near drowning experience, I was through with swimming. I walked away from that YWCA, and I never went back. So, I mean, if I fall in somewhere, either the Lord has to send a whale to get me, because I gave up on that thing. I just couldn't get it right for some reason. Thank you, Keon. You don't come help me out, because I sure need it. Praise God. But it's a scary thing. Once you really are that water is going down your throat, it is just horrible, Saint. So when we're going through life and we feel like, we're going down for maybe the third time, what does Scripture tell us? Cry out to God. That's what Jonah did, saints. He cried out to God, and God says, I promise I will hear you and I will answer you. Let's look at verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. Amen. And in verse 2, he said, in my distress, I what? Called to the Lord, and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. Praise God. Saints, a vacation Bible school teacher was telling the story of Jonah to her vacation Bible school class of 6-year-olds. Now, the children were starting to talk about how they would escape if they were allowed to be swallowed like Jonah. So one of them said, I'd start a fire on the whale's stomach, and I'd make him cough me out. Another one said, I'd start stomping on his tongue, and then I'd make him spit me out. And then they was talking all kind of smack what they would be doing to that whale inside. And finally, there was one thoughtful little girl. She said, you know what I do? I call my parents and wait for them to come and get me out. Praise God, praise God. That's a pretty good answer, amen. And for Jonah, the only one who could have got Jonah out was only God could have got him out that fish. Hallelujah. Sometimes that's who we, nobody else. We got to go straight to God, saints. Now, Jonah only had 3 days. He was only 3 days in the belly of that fish. But I tell you, I kid you not, them were some long 3 days, I think. But it was only 3 days and 3 nights, all right? But you today, it might be longer than 3 days. You might have been praying for a year already for an answer. You might have been praying for a couple years. Some of us may have prayed for a decade already for someone we love or some situation, amen, saints. But Scripture tells us, don't give up. Jonah didn't give up, amen. High five your neighbor and say, neighbor, whatever, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Jonah did not give up, and he got to the place of thanksgiving by first of all crying out to the Lord who heard him and hears us. All right, and secondly, what did Jonah do? Look up to God in hope. Amen. Jonah was deep in the belly of that fish in the sea, but he kept looking up to God in hope. Psalm 121 tells us, lift our eyes unto the hills from whence comes our help. Our help cometh from the Lord who created the heavens and the earth. Amen. And look what Jonah said in verses 3 and 5, 4. Jonah says, you hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the sea, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. He's in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a fish, looking up to the Lord. Hallelujah. Saints, in one of the darkest places you can imagine, Jonah was looking up to the Lord his God in hope. Amen. And then we see at verse 10, the Lord spoke and it vomited Jonah unto dry land. Praise God. Now, Jonah looked up in hope. And you know what? God helped him in the most unusual way. Saints, God sent that fish to save Jonah. How many know Jonah would have drowned in the midst of the middle of the sea? God sent that fish to save Jonah. He had his big mouth open and Jonah went right on in. But when we first look at it, it looks like, wow, he's jumping from the frying pan into the fire. But really, it was God's way of saving him. Amen. Then the Lord guided the fish over to dry land and lost his lunch. Amen. Praise God. And Jonah was on his way to doing God's will. Amen. Well, dear friend, God could send a big fish to help you today. But more likely, God is going to send someone with a big heart to help you today. God sends us into each other's life. God sends people into our lives when we need help, when we need a hand, when we need somebody. I want you to just high five your neighbor and just say, neighbor, help is on the way. It is on the way. Amen. It's on the way. So keep on keeping on your journey, praying on, praising on, and pressing on. Amen. Oh, Jesus is our hope. As a hymn writer wrote, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Now to the question, how can I get to the place of thanksgiving? The second answer is to look up to God in hope. And then thirdly, we are to speak out to God about God's help. Look at verses 5 and 6. Jonah spoke to the Lord with great gratitude. Everybody say, great gratitude. Great gratitude. All right. There's Jonah. He says in verse 5 together, the engulfing waters threatened me, and the deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. Can anybody here testify today that at some point you've been in some kind of pit? Hallelujah! Oh, praise God. Oh, the Lord has picked me up and placed my feet on solid ground. That's why I'm here today. It's all because of Jesus. Hallelujah. All because of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And in verse 9, Jonah says, I mean, he's just so thankful in the middle of that fish, in the middle of the sea. I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. Saints, God wants us to speak to God about God's goodness. God wants us to speak to others, not keep our mouths shut, not act like we can't praise God and have thankful spirits. You know, I read about a fourth grader who gave a report about Thanksgiving in our politically correct world. They got us so we halfway scared to say anything because, oh, they gonna take us to court and sue us and all this. But she got up. She's trying to be so politically correct. And here she is in the fourth grade. She says, the pilgrims came here seeking freedom from you know what. And when they landed, they give thanks to you know who. Because, you know, because of them, the pilgrims, we can worship each Sunday, you know where. So she was scared to say anything. God does not want us to be that way, saints. God wants us to speak of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. God wants us to testify of God's goodness so that others can be blessed as well. Now, this past prayer vigil was an awesome weekend. We just prayed, and it was just so wonderful. And we, as your pastors, we were so blessed at the end of the prayer vigil by the testimonies that came forth and just lifting up what God had did in each individual person and maybe in some of the groups you were in or what happened out, the fruits that were coming out of the prayer vigil. And each one encouraged my heart so it was just causing me to count my blessings more and to just go deeper into praise to the Lord God. Saints, God wants us to speak out. God wants us to testify and to tell of his goodness, amen. Because as we testify, more gratitude is going to develop in our hearts and gratitude in those who are listening. And then people say, wow, God did that for you. God can do that for me too then, amen, praise God. We encourage other when we testify to the goodness of the Lord in our lives. And saints, God deserves the praise. God deserves for us to open our mouth and give glory to God. If we God's people don't do it, who's going to give God praise? The rocks, God said, it ain't no rock going to cry out for me. Amen. How about you? Praise God. I hope y'all ain't going to let no rocks cry out. Amen. How can we get to a place of thanksgiving? Thirdly, speak out about God's glory and God's help. And then fourthly, saints, turn back to God in heartfelt obedience. Everybody say obedience. Obedience. It's important for us to remember that Jonah was in the pit because of his own disobedience. Amen. A lot of times it's the same with us. Just admit it. Sometimes we disobedient. Just go ahead and say it. Just go ahead and be honest. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Amen. It's our own disobedience. Amen. We have to be careful here, though, because there are many people who are suffering because of someone else's sin. Amen. And then there's other people who are suffering because they've done something good, not bad, but they're still suffering. Amen. So regardless of how we got into the jam we're in or whatever situation, it's good for us to recommit ourselves to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No matter what we're doing, just recommit yourself to following the Lord Jesus. Amen. And we saints need the same kind of commitment Jonah had in verses 7, 8, and 9. And that's where Jonah told God. Jonah said, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who claim the worthless idols forfeit God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Now that's thanksgiving. Amen. Oh, praise your name. Now, saints, we observe thanksgiving because of this kind of commitment. Yes, the grateful pilgrims declared a three-day Thanksgiving feast starting December 13, 1621. And in 1789, the whole country celebrated its first day of Thanksgiving to God after a proclamation by President George Washington. But by 1820, the Thanksgiving tradition was being forgotten. More and more people ignored the holiday. That's when Sarah Hale took up the cause. Sarah was an unlikely champion for Thanksgiving because she was so well acquainted with suffering and hardship in her life. Born in 1788, Sarah was the daughter of a disabled veteran from the Revolutionary War. She helped support her family by teaching school. In 1813, Sarah married David Hale. He died of pneumonia when she was pregnant with their fifth child. Sarah was left to support her five children by making hats, writing poetry, and writing novels. But in spite of her difficult life, Sarah was thankful. She believed that Thanksgiving should not fade away. And she believed that the whole country should celebrate Thanksgiving on the same day, the last Thursday of Thanksgiving, of November. And so she picked up her pen, saints, and she began to write. She wrote hundreds and hundreds of letters, just writing to politicians and people who were in charge, asking them to please help me make Thanksgiving a national holiday. Eventually, Sarah Hale went to the top by asking President Zachary Taylor, would he make Thanksgiving a national holiday, and he refused. She later wrote to President Fillmore, President Pierce, and President Buchanan, and they all refused. Finally, in 1863, despite the fact that the country was torn in two by the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln agreed to make Thanksgiving a national holiday, a day for all Americans on the same day to give praise to the Lord God Almighty. It took Sarah Hale 38 years, saints, and an endless supply of paper and ink and staying up and a whole lot of dedication, but Sarah Hale was victorious. Saints, that is the kind of commitment we all need for the cause of Jesus Christ. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. This is the kind of commitment we need to have because of what God has done for us. God has been good, saints, and we need to have the same kind of commitment. And we must stay connected to God. And if we can just keep that connection, like Sarah, just in the midst of all her struggles, she was thankful, she was grateful. And saints, we got to say, well, how can I stay connected to God when I'm going through so much? Well, let's look at our note sheet. There's just a few things here I've jotted down. How do we stay connected to God? First of all, it's what? Reading our Bible on a regular basis. Amen. Reading the Word of God helps connect us to the Lord. God speaks to us through the Word. We know what it is that God is desiring of us, and we can receive the power of the Holy Spirit just ingesting the Word into ourselves. Amen. And the Scriptures, they challenge us, they convict us, they encourage us. Amen. And so we don't have to worry like we don't have the Word. Amen. Because we've got the Word. And then secondly, what? We remain connected through what? Small groups. We got a smorgasbord of small groups here at Glenville New Life Community Church for every age group, for almost every topic. We got it going on here, amen. Opportunities to meet other Christians, to study together, to grow together, to be accountable to each other, accountable to God as we journey together, recognizing God's presence, amen. And thirdly, we stay connected to God by what? Through worship, hallelujah. Whether it's private worship at home, just worshiping the Lord, or coming together. The Lord said, do not forsake the coming together, amen, with the saints. Worship brings us into the awareness of God's presence. It gives us opportunity to corporately give thanksgiving and praise to God. These are ways to keep our connection to God. And look at our New Testament text for today that Ruby read for us from Philippians 4. It reads, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Praise God. And saints, as I thought through these verses, I could just see here, saints, that sometimes if we're not just focusing in on God and being connected, we get anxious and we get worried. And then we see this big fish coming at us and its mouth is open. It's like, oh, we about to get swallowed up. We see all the water around us. We see seaweed starting to wrap our heads, amen. We feel life is just beating us down. But, hallelujah, but in these times as Christians, God is trying to change us. God is trying to make us more like Jesus Christ, saints, in the midst of these difficult times. Hallelujah. I want to ask this question. How do you respond? How do you respond? Do you respond like Jonah? He responded in a spiritual way. He lifted his eyes unto the Lord and he prayed. And with thanksgiving, he says, I love you, Lord. I'm in the middle of the sea, in the middle of this fish, oh God. But I love you and I give you praise today. Or do we respond out of the flesh? Oh, some of us, we quick to bring the flesh out. What you say? Let me go get my bat. I'll show you something. We're quick to snap up and, oh, wow. But the Spirit, that's how Jonah responded. Galatians 5, 22 and 3, it says the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is that how we're responding when we're in a panic situation or when somebody said something else we don't like? All right, get down, flesh. I'm going to deny you. Come up, spirit. Hallelujah. I'm going to respond in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Self-control. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo! We choose daily. We got to choose to die daily. Oh, I got to beat Pastor Toby down every day. All day I got to beat her down, amen, so that the spirit can rise up in me, amen. Oh, so love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self, that it's going to be evident, hallelujah. Now, there are lessons I want us to take hold of today because they will teach us to respond by the way of the spirit and the way the spirit would have us respond to stay connected to God. All right, I want you to touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, stay connected to God. Stay connected to God. I believe that staying connected to God is vital in our faith. Saints, the worst times of my life have been when I have felt distant from God. The worst times in my life is when I have felt disconnected with my faith. I remember coming home. I would come home from Notre Dame to go home every weekend. And one weekend I came home, and after like a day being there, my granddad said to me, Toby Lynn, something's wrong. He said, you've been here almost going on 2 days, and I haven't heard you say praise God one time. Something is not right. And he was right, because I was feeling overwhelmed by finances, overwhelmed by relationships that were not going well, and I was feeling overwhelmed by some of my grades weren't where I wanted them to be, you know. And so I was just feeling, and like, so I wasn't going around. He said, now, before you go back, I want you to get reconnected, and I want to see it before you go. I want to know that you've got that connection before you go back to school. And so I had to go get on my knees, and me and the Lord had to wrestle. But before I left out, praise God, granddaddy. Amen. Praise God, granddaddy. Praise God, granddaddy. Amen. So that he would know that I had established that reconnection with God. Hallelujah. We've got to stay connected. Oh, we look at Romans 12:12. The Apostle Paul tells us, let's read that together. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. No matter what's going on, finances, relationships, whatever. Amen. Joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, it tells us, rejoice always. Let's say that again. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in some circumstances, some all circumstances. For this is God's will for you, me, in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, this may not be a complete list, but when Paul says something three times in a similar fashion, then it must really have meant something, because it's on his heart and his mind, and he wants us to get it. So nudge your neighbor and say, we got to get this. We got to get this. We got to get this. So we can work on getting this by memorizing these verses. Romans 12:12, 1 Thessalonians, Philippians 4. We can memorize these verses. Now, first, Philippians 4, you take these words, you can connect with God just in the midst of whatever you're facing. Now, here are the words, and I printed them for us. The verse is anxious about nothing, all right? Prayerful in everything, thankful always. These are 8 words. Anxious about nothing, prayerful in everything, thankful always. And they equal one word, the 9th word, which is peace. Peace. I'm not talking about peace. I'm talking about peace. Whew, peace. Ain't nothing like some real good peace, saints. Peace that surpasses human understanding, even in the midst of mess, even in the midst of storms, hallelujah. To feel God's peace, hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. But we can only feel it when we're connected, when we're logged in, hallelujah.
That means we don't have to be swallowed whole by an ocean giant to know what it means to feel suffocated or fearful or uncertain about the future or whatever. We don't have to be swallowed whole by no big giant to experience sleepless nights and to be able to just want to chew our fingernails off or just don't want to go to work in the morning, don't want to go to school, don't want to go where we supposed to be, don't want to go home, you know, whatever. Which brings us back to my question about prayer. When you are in the belly of a fish, realize sometimes God has come to test you to see how you gonna do, amen, to see if you gonna pray, all right? So it may be testing time. So I want us to look at these questions for this week and reflect on them. If you're going through, you're in the belly of a fish, ask yourself these questions. How do times of distress affect my life? Really think about that. When I'm going through, is my tendency to just start worrying, or is my tendency to go to God in prayer? Really look at yourself. Secondly, how fervent am I in prayer when life is going well? You know, I got joy in my spirit, all the lights are green, you know, everything going so good. Do I just say, ooh, I'm just having a good day, or do I say, Lord, ooh, I thank you, Lord. Do we go to God in prayer when things are going well? And thirdly, how does distress reorient my thinking toward God? If you're going through, is your tendency to say, oh, God, I'm so mad, or Lord, I'm just going to praise you in the midst of this. I want you to reflect on those questions this week. Saints, we need to lift everything to the Lord in prayer. God answers prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is life-changing. Prayer in our lives transforms us. Hallelujah. Now, we have prayed as a church. We've prayed as individuals. On that prayer tree back there, every time I go past it, I'm praying for that tree. Every time you go past it, you need to pray over that. Because we have put on that prayer tree our children, our grandchildren, our parents. We have put our jobs. We put stressful relationships. We put our marriages. We have put in ill. We have just put it all there. Amen. We're seeking God to work in our lives. Amen. We're seeking for God to use us to cause people to see Jesus Christ and be drawn, for relationships to be healed and restored. So let us not give up on being persistent in our prayers. I want to end, saints, by saying all people need the Lord. You need the Lord. I need the Lord. Everybody out there needs the Lord. Amen. And only Jesus saves. Jesus is the one that died on the cross for you and for me. Without Jesus, we're in worse danger than Jonah was in the belly of that fish without Jesus. Jesus saves saints. Jesus heals saints. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And as Jonah said in verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. Hallelujah. And Jonah's story points us to the cross of Jesus Christ. Think about it. If anybody needed to be rescued, it was Jonah. Amen. Now this story is like Christ. Jonah is the picture of Jesus. In Matthew 12:40, Jesus says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah was an Old Testament picture of the coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jonah in the fish 3 days, Jesus in the grave 3 days. But the big difference is, saints, Jonah went through intense suffering because of his own sin. Jesus went through intense suffering because of our sin. Hallelujah. Jonah felt like he was dead. Jesus really died. Amen. Hallelujah. And then Jesus rose again that we might have life eternally and abundantly in him. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Salvation is of the Lord. Saints, we all need to reflect and take a look at our own lives. Jonah got a wake-up call from God, and sometimes God gave us a wake-up call too. And we need to know. We got that connection. God is waiting. God wants that connection. God wants to speak to us. God wants us to hear, to get our attention. God wants us to be obedient. God wants us to love him with thanksgiving and gratitude. I close with Jonah 2, 9 and 10. But I, with shouts of gratitude and grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What have I vowed? I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Saints, you know what? God's been good. God was good to Jonah. God's been good to me. God's been good to you. You know what? I join in with the praise choir. Over these years, they have led us, and they said, when I look back over my life, and I'm speaking today, and saints, when I think things over, I can truly say, through the ups and downs, when it was easy and when it wasn't easy, I can truly say, can I get a witness up in here today? I can truly say that I've been blessed. I've got a testimony. If you two have a testimony, would you rise to your feet? Would you make this declaration? God says, proclaim my goodness. Let the world know, hallelujah, that I am God and that I am love. I am faithful and true. Are you willing to make that proclamation about the goodness of the Lord today? Here we go, saints.
Oh, when I look back over my life, and I think things over, I can truly say that I've been blessed. I have a testimony. Truly say